Tell me when. Wait, was it going then?
Hey friends,
welcome to Inside Out Growth Podcast,
hosted by me, Molly,
and me, Paris.
From fitness to friendships
and self-love to studies,
we're here as your friends. So chill out
and relax
whilst we help you to grow on the inside
to glow on the outside.
Hi guys.
Hey guys, welcome back to Inside Out Growth.
Yes, I know. I'm quite excited about this one.
Me too. I think it's something that kind of we've both experienced to the max. And we know hopefully a lot of our audience also has either been there or is coming out of it. Or maybe you're currently in that state. But regardless, we're here to help. We're your friends.
Yeah.
And hopefully we can bring some interesting facts and information to the surface.
Give you some tips. So today we're going to be talking about how food is not a reward for exercise and how you don't earn food through exercise.
100%.
Because I think both Paris and I, like when we struggled with our relationship with food and exercise, we very much thought this. And Paris just said, like, it's literally girl math, but like in the worst possible way.
Literally.
Like, you don't, you know, have, I don't know, like, as you said earlier, like a pack of Maltesers and like have to run certain amount of time on the treadmill, like that's just not how it works. You just eat the Maltesers, okay?
Because we think we've talked about this before, not that numbers should determine your daily eating schedule and things like that, but you said this really well in one of your recent reels, that you have all these things that make up your total daily energy expenditure. So you have your thermal metabolic rate, which is how much you burn during digestion. You have your fidgeting under the table, under the desk when you're tapping your feet. That's also a way of energy expenditure. You have just physical activity in a day.
Like, the amount of energy you burn from doing nothing. Like, absolutely nothing.
Exactly.
And like
sleeping.
Interestingly, like exercise, like actually going to the gym, working out, or like going on your run, or like doing your home workout, is a tiny proportion of how much energy you burn the whole day.
Yeah, and that's why the Apple Watch just also, like, you have to be clever. You have to be, not clever, but you have to know what those numbers mean. If you are looking at it as an outtake intake perspective, you have got it very, very wrong.
Yeah, and I used to think that. Yeah, I used to think that the 100%. Only energy you burn, like, throughout the day was how much you did in your workouts. Mm-hmm. And, like, so for me, when I was kind of seeing people post, like, by the way, true warning, I'm going to talk about calories. When I was seeing people post, like, what I eat in a day is on Instagram, and they're like, what I eat in a day, like, 2,400 calories, which can be, like, a really, like, healthy amount. And they were like, oh, yeah, this is my maintenance or whatever.
Yeah.
I genuinely thought they were doing 2,400 calories worth of exercise, like Apple Watch exercise, you know. I would also, like, I've never ever done that much on my Apple Watch, but I'd be like, why can't I do that much? I would just, like, spend hours exercising, trying to, like, mirror that.
Yeah.
I didn't know that, like, you burn so much just literally, like, we're burning energy right now. Like, we're burning calories
sitting down.
Right now, sitting down talking.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
And I wish I did, because then I thought, like, oh, you know, I'm eating, like, 2,000 calories a day, but, like, I'm only, like, doing whatever much on my Apple Watch.
Yeah.
I'm in such a massive, like surplus.
Yeah.
Like,
but then also it can be the other way around, that, like, let's say your, I don't know, your watch says 800 and you're like, okay, well, great, I could sustain my meals, which would equal 800 calories over the whole day. It's like, well, no, because your poor body is in such an extreme deficit. Yeah. Because, again, that Apple Watch number is probably not even one quarter of, like, your total daily energy expenditure. So you are putting your body under so much stress, which was raising your cortisol levels, which can contribute to loss of period, which can give you migraines, which could do all of these things, which is just, you're detrimenting your body.
Yeah.
And that is, unfortunately, the fundamental kind of underpinnings of an eating disorder. It's like a significant energy deficit.
And, like, the fact that you're conscious of it, too. Like, you're like, oh, well, this watch only says, like, 800, therefore I can only eat 800. Like, even if, like, you're... I mean, I don't think anyone intends to develop an eating disorder.
No.
But, like, for me, I didn't realise that I had an eating disorder until I was, like, out of it, really. Like, I didn't acknowledge that actually that was, like, disordered eating.
Yeah.
if you're letting something else, like a watch or anything that's basically not like natural hunger signals, determine what you eat and like when you eat, how much you eat, like that's kind of disordered.
100%. And you don't have to be stick thin to have disordered eating.
Oh, for sure.
Or potentially on the larger size.
Yeah. And like, I was never diagnosed. Like, I never went to the doctors for my eating disorder. A, because like, they're not, it, basically the NHS is obviously, as we know, massively underfunded. They're not too keen to help. Like, I remember I went to the doctors for something unrelated around the same time I was really struggling. And I was underweight at this point. And he had to like take my height and weight to like do something else. And I was underweight. Like, I had a underweight BMI, like officially. I was a very low weight at that time. And he didn't bat an eyelid.
What?
And I even said to him, I was like, oh, like, I'm a little bit concerned about my weight. And he was like, oh, it's fine.
Because you also would just kind of want to see what they have to say.
Yes, that was
like,
it.
Like, low-key external validation of it.
It was that validation. Like, I kind of wanted someone to be like, to actually kind of like intervene.
Yeah.
And be like, oh, something's wrong here. Like, are you okay? Like, I want someone.
Because otherwise you don't believe it.
I was like, oh, it must be fine then. You know, that must not be that much of an issue. Like, he must not think I've got a problem. Then I look back to that time in my life.
Digs you deeper.
Oh, my God. Like, even when I look at pictures of myself.
Yeah, same.
I don't know how, like, he didn't see the skeleton walk into the clinic and be like.
Yeah, warning sign.
You're right, hon.
Yeah, literally.
So, yeah, it's, you don't have to be, like, NHS diagnosed with sort of to, like, have a problem and like, work out of the problem.
And also, I think what we want to also try and kind of deter is that conscious that you need validation from it, that like, oh, you have it. Like, if you think there's a problem, one really good indicator is checking, like, although BMI is not a very good way to determine overall health, because you could have a lot more muscle and therefore be classed as overweight.
Yeah, I think I'm overweight now.
Yeah, even though you're not. But if you're going on the other end of the spectrum and seeing, thinking, I think I might have a problem, and seeing, okay, my BMI in comparison to my height, weight and age, like that there is something wrong, that's when you kind of start and can almost get the validation that you potentially do need help.
Yeah.
And we can tell you that there is always a way out of it. Things always do get better, but the only person that's going to want and desire and make that change is you.
Yeah, you can, like, no one else can do it for you.
Yeah.
Like, you can get, like, a therapist, a nutritionist, you can go to doctors, you can get a diagnosis, but no one can change that. Like, no one can get you out of that situation apart from yourself.
Yeah.
And, like, I know that a problem with, like, a lot of eating disorder clinics is that they'll, like, ply you with food.
Yeah.
So you, like, you get back to a healthy way, or, like, you get, I don't know, your period back. But you're not, they don't mentally fix you. So as soon as you're discharged, like, when you're, I don't know, viewed by them as, like, healthy, you just relapse because you haven't fixed that mental side.
It's just been a tick box thing until it doesn't have to be anymore.
And it's because they can't control it. They can control, like, what you eat and how much of.
Yeah.
But the way to, like, recover from disordered eating pattern is to do it, like, yourself in your mind. And no one's, like, sat there with strings in your brain pulling them about, and, like, no one's going to perform, like, any brain surgery or whatever.
Yeah.
Because it is a mental illness, right?
Yeah.
Like, eating disorders are mental disorders. They're not anything that you should, like, feel bad or like embarrassed of developing, because you can't necessarily control that.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
It's just your, like,
and it's a hard thing that, like, with depression you can take antidepressants, with, like, heart disorders you can take things that can help that. Unfortunately, with an eating disorder, as much as you can get advisory help and coaches and things like that, like, you have so much influence over the outcome of, like curing it, if that makes sense.
You have to be, like, down to make that change. Like,
and people do it differently.
Yeah.
Like, for me, that was genuinely throwing myself in the deep end. I've spoken about this before on the podcast, like, at uni, that was when, for me, I had to kind of come out of it. But for you, it was, that was when it all kind of started
for me, and in uni, in first year, really, that was when it, like, got really, really bad.
Yeah.
And, like, the only way I could get out, like, I got a coach, and she was so helpful. Like, she gave me the tools to recover. Like, she gave me the tools to fix my mind, my attitude towards food and exercise.
Yeah.
I but she could only give me those tools. Yeah. I had to use them.
Yeah, 100%.
It's like, I don't know, you've got, I don't know, you want to put a picture up in your room and mm-hmm. your dad like gives you a hammer.
Yeah.
But you have to put it up. Like, that's he's so given true. You the hammer, which is going to help you put the picture up on your wall, but you have to do it. Like,
and you know what? And if you don't know how to put it up, that picture up, like, you, it's okay to ask for help. Yeah, there's for sure. so many resources online. There's so many telephone numbers you can call. There's loads of mindset coaches online that can kind of tell you how to utilize this information you're giving, mm-hmm. like you. So if you do need help in kind of learning how to do that, there is definitely some places to do that. But we can so understand that it's a really difficult way to kind of...
It is hard, but I stand by the fact that, like, everything that's worth having is hard. Like, like if you want to get somewhere, like if you want to get to a certain point in your life with your mindset or like even just acquiring something, mm-hmm. you have to work hard.
Yeah,
I don't think that like
and it makes the reward so much easier.
Yeah for sure. I also just had a thought when we were talking about that, like when we were talking about what we started the podcast on, was the app MyFitnessPal. This is something I think is like definitely worth mentioning, because when I first started like trying to get healthy over lockdown,
quotation and, marks healthy
which I like, when I started wanting to get healthy, I thought that like the purpose of like exercise was to lose weight, and I thought that was like really good. If you have any fitness goals, like it should always be to lose weight.
Exercise in my mind growing up means losing weight,
not which is
gaining muscle, increasing your strength, power, so speed, like endurance, like that is health.
I had,
as well.
Yeah, I had two goals, and it was to lose weight and gain a bum, which is just a contradiction.
Yeah.
Like, completely contradiction, but that's just what I thought exercise was used for, like to grow your glutes and to get smaller. And when I started exercising, I was like, my body was fine. It was happy. I had a regular period. Mm-hmm. I wasn't like overweight or anything. I was just a normal person. Yeah. I did normal things.
Yeah.
I didn't need to lose weight, basically, is what I'm trying to tell you. But then I downloaded MyFitnessPal to like help me with my food and like getting a calorie deficit, because that's what everyone else was doing at the time. And it would say like, you like input your food, right? And then you could like input your exercise,
which oh my god,
and
yeah,
then it would like say, it would be like, oh, you know, you can eat back like this amount of food, or like
it's like the negative
to,
like,
stop
negative, like
it's just bollocks. Like if you want to
so
use
unscientific.
Yeah, if you want
to
use,
I didn't have the premium, so I didn't
have the premium either, but it says like it comes up with like a minus thing or like a plus thing, like green or red, it works out some equation, but the equation is just like bollocks.
The equation is literally what we were saying: 800 exercised equals you can eat 800 to be at your maintenance.
Yeah, it doesn't take into account like anything else apart from exercise, which, as we've already discussed, like exercise only makes up a tiny bit of what you burn throughout the day. So if you, I still use MyFitnessPal when I'm like bulking, because I need to make sure that I eat enough. Because it is like quite hard. Because my maintenance is quite high. But I just don't, I don't acknowledge that like end part of the equation. And I don't input my exercise. I used to spend hours like trying to input my exercise into
like 20 minutes on the Stairmaster.
That was probably like whatever calories. And it also like estimates
how much based
you burn,
which is so dumb. Like, what if I was an 80-year-old man going on a 20-minute walk versus a 21-year-old female going on a walk? Like, it's just not the same.
Like, these things, like these apps, these watches, they don't know your metabolic rate, like, which is the most important.
You need scientific like equipment to figure that out.
Yeah, which I'm sorry, but like, however expensive your Apple Watch was or your Garmin watch, it's not doing that.
Facts.
I'm sorry.
Genuinely. I think Aura rings and like Whoops are kind of headed in the right direction because it's so science based.
Yeah.
I'm not here saying like it's completely accurate, but they take into a lot of other things. Like your sleep, like that obviously contributes to your TDE. Like there's so many things. But rooting back to kind of the initial introduction to what this is, what we're trying to get the message across, is that like your energy expenditure through physical activity during the day doesn't equal what you should be ingesting. You should be eating, and we're not nutritionists, we're not certified dietitians, we can't tell you what you can and can't do. We're kind of just outlining the basic facts of what your body should be intaking and what equals healthy. And we're going to go on to another episode later about potentially some exciting news that we've both had in terms of our menstrual cycle and how eating more and fueling ourselves and rest and exercising and balance has resulted us in being the healthiest that we have been in literally like probably 5 years mutually. So it is so important, and it takes ages to rebalance that. Your body is so clever and so smart that it literally goes into fight or flight mode when it has been, you know, starved and deprived of basic nutrients. And we know that, like, obviously I've been doing a lot of running, so I have to know that I have to consciously, at the moment I don't track anything, but like consciously ingest more carbs than I would on a regular basis, because I am using so much glucose and my glycogen stores are being so depleted whilst running. So I'm aware that I have to, you know, increase my carbohydrate intake, opposite to Molly, who is strength training and like you have to eat more protein. Do you know what I mean? So everyone's different, but refueling, and you know what, Molly says this all the time, like, what can you add? Like, okay, you're you add loads of nuts and seeds to your porridge.
Yeah, like those like little Aldi protein yogurts that you get. Like, just whack some granola on, whack some seeds on. Like, even if you're on a weight loss journey, doing that is going to be so helpful. Like, you think, oh, adding to food is like, you know, bad because it's more calories.
Yeah.
But no, because it's going to stop you snacking later on.
Yeah.
And if you're on a weight gain
journey, longer,
then it's obviously better anyways, because you're adding more to your meals. And also, it just is nicer. Like, I can promise you that a little Aldi chocolate protein pot tastes a lot nicer with a little bit of granola sprinkled on top. Like,
You're so right. And, like, I feel that recently the whole kind of weight gain industry has actually, I think it's been moving in the right direction in terms of, like, it is about, like, fueling yourself and how that can create a bigger bum and how that gives you more energy and how that enhances your presence in a room. And I just feel like there is so much, it's a process, don't get us wrong, but like eventually food will not be your enemy.
Yeah, exactly.
And it will give you so much joy to life. And like, I think we can bond over the fact that our best experiences have been in social settings where you are either drinking or sharing a meal. You can sit around a table and eat a long dinner or a long meal for 4 hours and create memories that you having a black Americano, like, with low energy is going to literally maybe give you about an hour of enjoyment. But having some wine and dinner and a roast around a table, it's just like those are when the fun conversations are fueled, the connections are like formed, to the point where like, where I'm in third year now, and a huge, we're not going out as much, but you're just saying, people are like, oh, do you want to come over, I'll cook you dinner. And it's like, those are so nice. And 3 years ago I would have been like, oh no, today's a rest day, therefore I should be eating less, therefore I actually can't go for dinner with that person because I don't know what they're going to cook, and like over psychoanalyzing it. And it's like, sorry, someone's actually just speaking to me across the room and I'm now thinking about what my other friends invited me for dinner but I don't want to go to. Like, that could all be eradicated eventually. Don't get us wrong, it's not an instantaneous fix, but by being conscious of it. And what I've said this in the podcast before is like, think of when you're putting that protein pudding with extra, like, I don't know, granola into your body, like, how is that nourishing your body? You know, protein granola is good for growth and repair. You know that there's lots of vitamins and minerals in the granola and in the seeds. And every spoonful is, I'm nourishing my body, I'm putting that through, I'm making myself be the best person I can be. And if you're consciously thinking that whilst you're eating these foods, that was a huge thing for me. Like, wow, this is so good for me.
And even like those meals, which can, you know, initially seem overwhelming, like if someone else is cooking for you, if you're like going out eating at a restaurant and you're worried because, like, I mean, unknown calories was something
scary
that used to like really stress me
out.
You just have to think, okay, like, I don't know what is in this numerical, I don't know if that's a word. It may also like not be like the most nutritious meal you've ever eaten in your whole life. But you have to think, like, what are you getting? Like, you're getting this amazing experience. Like, mm-hmm. someone else is cooking for you, mm-hmm. firstly. Like, mm-hmm. you should be grateful that you don't, you might have a little,
yeah.
little day off. Or, like, if you're at a restaurant, like, you're probably out with your friends. You're probably catching up. We're, like, mm-hmm. gossiping about something.
Yeah.
Or, like, talking about, like, an amazing experience you've had recently. Or, yeah. like, plan for the future. Like, embrace that. And embrace,
yeah, enrich experiences.
Yeah, embrace the fact that, like, that bit of food has allowed you to have this.
Yeah.
You know? Like,
yeah, that's what you're getting out of it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm sure
it's fuel yeah. for your mind,
yeah,
right? Like, you can eat something like really nutritious and have it like fuel your body and mm-hmm. like fuel your workout the next
yeah,
day.
Yeah, yeah, you're
but
so
you also
right.
need that food that like it just fuels your soul.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, that's a really good
makes
way of putting
happy.
It yeah,
like, I think yeah, it's just it's hard to it really is hard to
shift
to, yeah to shift yeah. and get to that point, but it is possible. And I think it's very I think almost glamorized, but like it's made
it easier.
Really easy.
Yeah.
And I'm very conscious of this when I like do Instagram posts about it
mm.
because I get exactly like it's hard in however many characters to like explain how long of a process this is. And I know like some people message me and they're like, oh, I've been trying for like a month and I just can't do it. And I'm like,
yeah,
it's not a month. It's like
yeah,
years.
It is.
It's
and,
years.
And don't get us wrong, like a year could mean that you are recovered, but it's like doesn't mean that those thoughts aren't going to creep back
yeah.
in your mind. And then it's years from that time where you are constantly learning how to shut down those thoughts to yeah. the point where they're not there anymore, which I don't know about you, but sometimes they do go to the back of my mind. I'm like, no, that is not coming in.
Yeah, I feel like, shut up. Not
yeah,
today.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
And the more you do that, the more they just go.
Yeah.
Right. It's like the more you do anything, the
yeah.
better you get at it, right?
Yeah.
Like the
yeah.
more you say shut up to those
yeah.
thoughts, they don't come
yeah.
out. The better you get at like just ignoring them, like not having mm-hmm. them completely, which is really important. Like it is a process. And I think like I don't know how you think about this, but like whenever you think of something in the future, like if someone's like, oh, it'd take you like 2 years to recover.
Yeah.
Like I'd be like, oh, what? Like I may as
yeah.
well not bother. But like the
yeah.
time is gonna pass anyway.
And also
so
you make
well.
Yeah, you make milestones along that process.
Yeah,
it's
exactly.
not like you only get to step one after 2 years. It's like, okay, like you have, I don't know, conquered like 4 of your fear foods
yeah.
in a month. Like
yeah.
what if you never started?
Yeah,
that
exactly.
month has made so much difference to yourself 1 month ago.
That actually reminds me, I made a list on my phone in like 2021 of all the foods I was like scared to eat. Like it
wow.
was like a fear food list.
Yeah.
And then I was like gonna get through them all and tick them off. And like
yeah.
I had a note at the top being like, oh, when I like have this food and actually enjoy it and not stress about it, I can like tick it off.
Yeah.
Then I just obviously completely forgot about this list.
Yeah.
And I found it like
no
the other
way.
Week, and it's
oh my god.
Because I look back and I'm like, I can't believe I was like petrified to
yeah.
consume these things. And to the point I like put it on a list of things I like genuinely
yeah.
wanted to eat so badly.
Yeah.
And it like it's weird because I don't like to me in my head that's a different person.
Yeah.
Like that's not
yeah.
who I am.
100%.
Like that person in 2020.
I always say that
ED
takes over your brain.
Yeah. And it's weird to think as well because I had a journey where I was like completely like normal, like great relationship with food and exercise, like
mm-hmm.
didn't understand eating disorders or why people develop them, and then I went like headfirst into one.
Yeah.
And I think my EED like lasted for about like a year, maybe
mm-hmm.
just over,
mm-hmm.
and then like it was then I recovered from
yeah.
that. But it's so weird to like read
yeah.
these foods, and it was
that's
just
crazy.
Something like so simple. Like,
but also proud of you. That's
yeah.
so cool.
I think I have like crumpets on there. Like, I have crumpets like every
yeah.
day.
Yeah.
Like, but when I have them now, I don't think about the fact I was scared to ever eat them. Like,
yeah.
It, like,
that's
it
those thoughts.
Exist.
You're telling
yeah.
them to shut up. And I always say, like, throw yourself in the deep end. Like, have that big bowl of pasta and sit with the discomfort. But
yeah.
that discomfort that you experience is going to make it maybe 10% less scary.
Mm-hmm.
And if you have to do it 10 more times before it's 0% less scary,
mm-hmm.
you are making it easy for yourself every single time. And
yeah.
I think that's, like, I know someone that, like, and I also can say I did this similar to you. I put it in a pot, and every, like, once a month I would open the piece of paper and be like, okay, this is what I'm having
mm-hmm.
today. And I would do it, and oh my god, for me it was just that I've done it, like
yeah.
I've accomplished it, I can do that again.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and it was scary, right? But
oh
the more
my god,
you,
so scary.
The more you do it, the more it's just like, this is not a thing to worry about. Like, you'll
mm.
realize that nothing bad happens. And like, I was definitely petrified that like you know, if I ate this thing, I would like gain loads yeah. of weight. Or like if I ate like this certain amount of calories my coach has set me, then I would like gain a ton of weight.
Yeah.
And you have to do it to realize that it doesn't happen. Mm-hmm. And I have people in like my DMs who kind of say that they're like, oh, like I did increase and like I did gain, like someone said they like gained like a couple of like 100 grams or something, and I was like, I promise this is not,
I could
like
drink a liter of water and gain a kilo.
So much influences like weight, like I fluctuate between like 1 and 2 kgs some days, like just from,
but also the amount of weight,
like
like
have you like done a shit that morning,
sweat, so much stuff.
So that's also why I'm not a fan of scales, like
think, we don't have them in this house.
I think they have their place, right, but if you suffer from disordered thoughts of any kind, it's best to not. And I think for some people that are they're healthy in the sense that, like, if they're genuinely committed to, like, gaining weight, like, when I actually, like, switched my mindset to be like, bitch, you need to do this, it was helpful.
Good indicator. When I, and also when it gave you fuel and ammunition to be like, I'm getting there.
When I accepted the weight gain is what I needed to do, I started to feel proud of the fact I was gaining. But there was like an initial phase where like I would gain like a kilo and I'd be like, oh my god, like, I would cry to my mom, and like, that's just not how it should be. So if you're in that situation, scales, get rid of them.
Throughout my whole like eating journey, I was in a boarding house, so I didn't have scales. And like before or after, I had no idea how much I weighed during that time. No idea. How weird.
Just shows that like these all experience differently. Like, some people can find scales, compare. It doesn't bother them. Like some people don't weigh, some people weigh like every day or like multiple times a day. It's why like I think EDs are something that like you always feel like you need to have validated. So like, you know, if you read my story about my ED where I like, used to weigh myself and stuff, and you read that during the time you had your ED, you might be like, well, I don't have an ED because I don't weigh myself. Like,
yeah.
Yes, you do.
So subjective, literally.
So that's like, it's just, again, this whole comparison thing. So important not to compare. And I think if you're ever having thoughts like, oh, I can't eat this because I haven't done like this much exercise, or like, or can I eat this? Am I allowed to eat this? Like, someone said this is like highly processed and bad for you. Like, I shouldn't eat this. I'm going to cut it out. Like, that's kind of disordered. And perhaps you should, like, whilst you may not have an eating disorder, you should like kind of work to accept and acknowledge this thought and think, actually, maybe this isn't the way I should be thinking. So I'm going to have it anyway, you know?
Exactly. And like, just to kind of like wrap it up, like, life is so worth living to the fullest, and unfortunately when you're trapped in that mind, you're not. And as soon as you get to a stage where it is a lot better, like, life is pretty freaking cool, and you're able to, like, Molly gets to interact with thousands of people daily because she's helping people learn through her experiences. I'm able to go out and, I don't know, exercise, run a marathon, hopefully in April, like do all these cool things that, like, life is so worth making that change for.
And I think when you're in it, you don't realize how shit it is until you're out. And so,
so
I think
work for that.
Like,
you work for that opportunity to see how good life can be.
Your life can always be better. Like, I think right now we have pretty good lives.
Yeah.
But there's ways we can make it better.
100%.
And so I think, like, if you're, like, trapped in ED, like, just know there's always a way to make your life better. But don't settle. If you're having, like, weird thoughts about anything, don't settle. You don't have to, like, put up with that.
Yeah, you're stronger than that.
Oh, for sure. And, yeah, I mean, I guess the whole kind of purpose of this podcast has been just to remind you guys that, like, food is not a reward for exercise. People, you know people who don't do any exercise, they still eat, right?
Yeah, exactly.
So why are you not? Like, why are you taking a rest?
The body knows how to digest, knows how to move fuel and energy around when it's needed, and when it's resting, it still uses energy, still needs everything, nutrients,
all the goodness. Body knows
to
best.
Survive. But thank you so much for listening today. Again, we're just so happy to be back and back on the grind.
It's so fun.
It's really been nice. Awesome.
And we hope this podcast episode has been helpful. If you enjoyed it, please give it a little share on your story.
Yes, we'd love that.
Send us a message. Yeah. Like, give us any feedback. If there's any topics that you want us to talk about, then just drop us a message.
Yeah, we're thinking of doing a Q&A in the next few weeks. So we'll defo put some polls up or questions up. But please don't hesitate to send us a message on either my Instagram, Molly's Instagram, or preferably our Inside Out Growth podcast handle.
But yeah, we'll see you guys in the next episode.
See ya.
Bye.